Hello and welcome back to another episode of Finally Following God's Laws, all 613 of them. Is it possible or too heavy a yoke or too heavy a burden or too heavy a yoke? Okay. My name is David. I've been bringing you this video series on the laws of God and if it's possible to keep them. We know we have our Lord Yeshua always there as our high priest. We know that he took upon all the consequences of sin. Sin is transgression of God's laws. And so we know he nailed to the cross all the consequences that come from trespassing his laws, okay? So he does give us the Holy Spirit. He left us the Ruach HaKodesh, okay? The Holy Spirit, which makes it possible to have power over sin. We have scripture that tells us this, okay? So today we're going to be getting into a little bit of that as we continue in the times and seasons, the Moedim, the divinely appointed feast of our Lord God and Savior. Ever since the beginning in Leviticus 23, he established his Moedim, his set feasts, his appointed days, his divinely appointed days. And still to this day, we do celebrate them. We know the first four have been actually prophesied and they came to pass. We know this being the Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and then 50 days later, Pentecost, Shavuot was completed, and he left us his Holy Spirit. He poured out his Holy Spirit, as we read in Acts chapter 2. And so he poured it out on us and left us his Holy Spirit, which makes the way to have power over sin, okay? To be able to go through his commandments, his statutes, and go through them one by one and just try to be as obedient as possible to every single one, okay? So it is possible, but remember, we always have a high priest just in case we struggle with one of them or we have caused one of them, we have broken one of these, we always have him to go and repent, okay? And just turn away from that sin, okay? So we know we have a high priest that we can go to, but do we take advantage of his grace? Paul says, certainly not. If we know that his grace abounds and that he nailed all the consequences to the cross, okay, do we go ahead and continue in sin, habitual sin? Do we continue to physically sin against him? No, not at all, okay? Certainly not, okay? So anyhow, this is what we're going to be speaking about in today's episode as we go on episode 15, okay? We're already at 127 through 136 today, okay? It's been going awfully fast. It seems like just yesterday I started sharing these commandments with you, okay? So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and dive into this. Hopefully it doesn't go past 30 minutes. This is what I said last time. And actually, I did pretty good. I did 33 minutes. Okay. So today, hopefully I don't go over that. So without further ado, let's go ahead and go there now. All right. So here we go. 613 laws of God. Is it possible to keep them or too heavy a burden or yoke? Let's take a closer look and see for ourselves, okay? Once again, 127 through 136, 10 per video, sometimes less, okay? So 10 per video we've been doing. And before then, I always bring you a scripture pertaining to his laws. I always bring you a scripture, one before and one by King David. Lately, we've been going through Psalm 119, okay? So here we go. Then this scripture I bring to you today is going to be from Proverbs, okay? The book of Proverbs, chapter 4, 1 through 4, okay? It says, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive so that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live.'" Once again, "Let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live." Okay. So with that, we're going to go ahead and go to the next slide here. And once again, this section will pertain to God's very important calendar, his Moedim, his divinely appointed days, divinely, because he set them himself, okay? He set them, no one else but him. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 23, you could go through them yourself, okay? He set them there. He appointed these feast days, okay? And they are to be kept forever, okay? We're going to be going through that today. So his divinely appointed days, times, and seasons, okay? So here we go. And always remember, if you were once a Gentile, you have been grafted into the commonwealth of Israel. Praise the Lord and rejoice. Remember, if you don't know what a Gentile is, it's any other race, okay, besides a Jew or a Hebrew, okay? And so, actually, and I don't want to, you know, throw you off here. If we have been grafted into the commonwealth of Israel, who are we now, okay? Even if you're any race, like me, I'm not Jewish, right? But I've been grafted in. So now I'm a part of Israel. I've been grafted into the root, okay? So you actually could say we're Hebrew, okay? Or we're Israel now. We are no longer Gentile, okay? We're one in Yeshua. That's a good way to look at it, right? He has adopted us in to the family, right? Adopted us into the promises, the covenant promises made through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, forever promises. These are everlasting. The new covenant will begin in the new kingdom here on earth in his millennial reign, okay? The new covenant is the same as the Abrahamic covenant, just a little bit tweaked out, but the same to the Davidic covenant. He fulfilled it, he came, and then next into the new covenant, which is going to be totally amazing when he restores his bride, Israel, and he places the Holy Spirit inside of them so they could obey his commands and his feast days, okay? It's going to be amazing. His kingdom here on earth. Okay, so here we go. And with that, here we go, 127 through 136. 127, to count 49 days from the time of the cutting of the Omer or the Omer. It says, i.e., first sheaves of the barley harvest. And you can find this in Leviticus 23:15. I put here counting of the Omer to Shavuot Pentecost, because when they were doing this, and they've been doing this for quite a while, okay? And this happened actually, if you go to the New Testament and you go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, and you see where the Spirit of God was poured out, okay? That was Shavuot that day, okay? To the T. Okay, and they counted the Omer in ancient times. They counted, it was the first counting right here, the first sheaves of the barley harvest. Or you could call it the Feast of Weeks, or you could call it Shavuot, or we know it as Pentecost, okay? Pentecost is in the Greek for 50, meaning in Hebrew it's Shavuot. So they were counting. They wouldn't stop at the first fruits or Passover. They would start counting on the Passover or unleavened bread. From that day forward, they would count the Omer, okay? Maybe they didn't realize what was going to happen on that day, but it happened, okay? It was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is when the Lord descended to the Father, to his right hand, and he left us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He poured it out right in front of Peter and the 12, okay? Peter and the 11, okay? Peter being the 12th disciple, poured it out right in front of everybody on the Jews that had been dispersed. It was just amazing. If you want, go through it yourself. Acts chapter 2, okay? So this is what you do. When you come to that time, okay, in the month of Nisan, okay, on God's calendar, okay, we know the Passover starts, I think, the 14th, right? So the 14th of Nisan, you do this, and then I did it for the first time this year, okay? I have heard about it, but then I actually did it for the first time. What a blessing, okay? I started counting the days, right? And actually, it's a Jubilee count, 49 days completion, 49 completion, and then the 50th day, which is completing the 49 Jubilee count on the 50th day. That's when it's sealed, it's completed. And so this is where we get Pentecost, because this is when it happened, okay? So it's just God's timing. I'm telling you, God's calendar is perfect. He fulfilled the first four spring feasts, okay? He fulfilled them to the T. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. They counted 49 days. On the 50th day, he left us his Holy Spirit on Shavuot on exactly that same day. So first four were in the spring and they were fulfilled, okay? We're waiting for the fall feast. So important. The fall feasts have to do with his return, okay? His millennial, his return coming in the clouds, okay? And then the Day of Atonement, he gathers his bride from the four corners. I call it the Great Aliyah. He gathers them together. He pours the Holy Spirit inside of them, and they're able. He lifts the veil from their eyes, those who are remaining on earth at that time, and he forgives them, has mercy on Israel, and he restores the 12 tribes. And 144,000 have a lot to do with this, okay? And they will be helping in those end days, in that end time, okay? So here we go. The counting of the Omer. So I recommend you do this. It's a blessing. I counted the Omer one by one. I marked it off on my calendar. And such a blessing to get to finally to Pentecost. Amen. And it's a time where you can reflect, okay? Reflect on your spiritual walk, on your walk with the Lord in obedience, and ask for repentance if you're having problems in a certain area. It's just a good time to come to him within those 40. And also, you know, within those 49 days, what was the Lord doing? In those 49 days, when he actually was crucified, he was buried, and he resurrected, he didn't go straight to the Father. No, he stuck around for a while. Remember, he said, it's not my time yet. He says, I'm going to leave you. If I can't leave you the Holy Spirit, remember, he said, you got to wait until I leave you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. If I go, I got to leave you the Holy Spirit, okay? So we know that happened, but during the duration of that time, he showed himself to many. He did a lot of work in between that time. So this is what was going on in the counting of the Omer. It all ties in together. It's a true blessing, okay? So in verse 15 of Leviticus 23, we have, you shall count 7 full weeks. This is why it's called either the Feast of Weeks or Shavuot or Pentecost. You shall count 7 full weeks. What is 7? 7 times 7 is 49. 7 full weeks of 7. 7 times 7 is 49. It says, you shall count 7 full weeks from the day after the Shabbat or the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. Like I said, it is ancient. They were doing this way before then. Maybe they didn't realize what was going to happen on that 50th day, right? On Shavuot. So what a blessing to know this. I'm telling you, this is times and seasons, is calendar. It's amazing. I'm still learning. I am no expert in all this, okay? I am still learning, okay? So it's been a blessing for me, and I just highly recommend you do the same. So 128, to rest on the Feast of Weeks. Shavuot, Pentecost, it's the same thing, okay? Don't get confused. It's the same thing. So if you see on calendars, well, I don't see Feast of Weeks here. I see on this calendar, it says Shavuot. It's the same thing. Or I see on this calendar, it says Pentecost. It doesn't say Shavuot, or it doesn't say Feast of Weeks. All three are one, okay? It's the same thing. And we have this in Leviticus 23, 21. It says, and you shall make a proclamation on the same day, you shall hold a holy convocation. And here we go. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a statute forever. Not my words. This is the Lord's words. This is why this is his doctrine. It's no other man's doctrine. Nobody made this up. This is in Leviticus. This is his he spoke these things, okay? So we got to go by them, okay? This is very important. What he says, even what he spoke through the prophets, and the Lord says, and I saith the Lord, I saith the Lord. So we got to go upon these words, right? So he himself, Yahweh, okay? He says, it is a statute forever. What does forever mean? It means even after the millennial kingdom, forever, and the new heavens, the new earth, that's eternity. Eternity, okay? That's what forever means, okay? It's a very little word, but it goes a long time, right? So it is a statute forever in all your dwelling places throughout your generations. So should you be keeping this commandment? Should you be keeping this feast day? Yes, okay? Remember, you've been grafted into the Commonwealth of Israel. If you are a Gentile, okay, you've been grafted in to the Commonwealth of Israel. So this applies to you, okay? It's not so hard to do, right? So you don't have to live in Israel, okay? You don't. I know that for a fact because I don't live in Israel and I still hold this feast, okay? It's a blessing. It's a blessing, I'm telling you. Okay, it's a feast. It's a celebration. Who wouldn't want to celebrate the Holy Spirit and what the Lord did, right? So, 129, not to do no work on the Feast of Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, Leviticus 23:21. And I kind of was like, being sarcastic in my last one, you know, and every now and then I do that because, you know, there's so many, they say that, no, that's for Israel. And they've been abolished and that's not for us. And then, so this is why I'm pointing out forever. These are statutes forever. This is why I'm pointing out that we've been grafted in to the Commonwealth of Israel. Okay. And sarcastically, I say, well, he's just asking us not to do work on the day, not to do any work. In other words, who wouldn't want to take a day of rest? He's such a wonderful, loving, merciful God. And then it's just amazing, right? So celebrations and also rest, okay? So right here we have not to do work on the Feast of Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. It's the same, one and the same. Once again, Leviticus 23:21. And you shall make a proclamation on the same day. You shall hold a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a statute, once again, forever in all your dwelling places throughout all your generations. Amen. 130, to rest on the Feast of Trumpets. There we go. This is the first of the fall feast. These fall feasts that we speak of have been celebrated and have been held. Remember, this is in Leviticus. This comes from him, not man's tradition, not at all. And we back then, they didn't understand what he was intending to do on the Feast of Trumpets. But now we have understanding, okay? On that day, the last trumpet, when the Lord blows the shofar, he's returning on that day. So you got to think about it, okay? I'm not setting no dates. This is not about that. We don't know exactly the hour or maybe the day, but we know by what he says, because why? Sit back and look at the spring feast. He completed them to a T, even Shavuot, leaving us the Holy Spirit. Why wouldn't he fulfill the fall feast on his calendar that he himself set, okay? And I'm going to be going through that today. To rest on the Feast of Trumpets. Like I said, it's the first of the fall feast, and it lands on, let me think about it a little bit. Let me go to the next one. I'll tell you what it is. No, I'm not going to go to the next one, okay? But I will tell you exactly the day, okay? I do know it's Tishri. Aha, I think I remember it. Tishri 1, okay? Tishri 1. And if I'm not, I do have it in a couple slides further. If I'm wrong, I'll correct myself. But I think my memory served me well right now. It's on Tishri 1, okay? So that's when the Feast of Trumpets is, in the fall, okay? So September, October, around that time, September, October. Okay, September, actually into October, okay? So on your Gregorian calendar. So 130, to rest on the Feast of Trumpets. This is when he blows the shofar and he returns in the clouds to come and gather, okay? To come gather, okay? Gather his beloved, gather those who are still alive on earth. First, those who are dead in Christ, those believers that have went on to be with the Lord, first them, and then those who remain alive after or in the tribulation, the great tribulation, Jacob's distress. You can find that in Jeremiah chapter 30. Those, okay, those who remain alive within the great tribulation, he picks up those, he gathers those, he gathers all his beloved bride, okay, Israel, that's been dispersed, that's been taken captive to the surrounding nations, because that's what's going to go on in the invasion of Jerusalem's Jacob's distress. So he gathers them from those nations, and then he cleanses them, the Day of Atonement. Very important. We're going to be speaking of that right now, which is the next one, okay? So this is the first of the fall feast. To rest on the Feast of Trumpets, okay? Yom, or you could call it Yom Teruah, which means trumpets, to blow the shofar, to blow the trumpets, okay? The Feast of Trumpets, or if you hear it being said, Yom Teruah, okay? Right here, I'm going to make a comment, okay? Don't let it throw you off, okay? When you see Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is not biblical, and it is placed here. Who knows why? I'm not condemning nobody, okay? In love, okay? It's not scriptural, okay? Because if you see Rosh Hashanah, you see that they put the name there, and they actually said it's the new year, okay? So right here we have to rest on the Feast of Trumpets. Why would they change it, okay? And to further that, I'm going to go ahead and explain that just a little, and we'll move on, okay? Or you could call it Yom Teruah. And this is in Leviticus 23:24. Now, it has been set there by man's tradition, okay? It's been set there as a tradition, Rosh Hashanah. Now, that is not written by God. You won't find it in Leviticus 23:24. You will not find Rosh Hashanah. You will not find it. I looked for it. I searched for it. In the Hebrew and everything, it's not there, okay? So, and it says in verse 23, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month. Now, Rosh Hashanah is they say it's the new year. And I don't know about you, but I know even on New Year's, okay, on the Gregorian calendar, United States New Year's, okay, what goes on in that new year? When you celebrate Happy New Year, okay, it's the first month of the year because, it just ended a year and you're celebrating the New Year's, right? Well, this is similar, the same, but Rosh Hashanah, why is it? It's the seventh month here. It doesn't even make sense. It would be the first month if it was actually the new year, okay? So you can look into this yourself. I kind of put two and two together. I said, wait a minute, doesn't add up, okay? We know the first month that Moses, that the Lord told Moses, this marks your first month. It's the month of Nisan, okay? That marks the first month, which we have the Passover and all those wonderful fall, spring feasts in, okay? So I just thought I'd let you know that. So in Leviticus 23:24, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, okay? So this is Tishri, okay? This is the seventh month. You could count it on your calendar. This is the month of Tishri on God's calendar, okay? It's in the fall, okay? Seventh month. In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord. Once again, on the first day of that seventh month. And let me see if I was correct here, okay? I said it was Tishri 1, right? I'm getting to know this. I'm learning, okay? I'm learning, just like you can learn the same, right? So very important, the fall feast, okay? That's when he returned. That's when our Messiah returns, okay? Very important, okay? And like I said, the first four, I'm going to continue to say this, the first four were actually fulfilled to the T. So why would the Lord go out of his way to not fulfill the fall feast that he put? That's why we're reading when he wrote these things, okay? I'm talking divinely appointed days. All right. So with that, just thought I would mention here that Rosh Hashanah is not found in the scriptures, in the Torah. It's actually unbiblical, but, people do celebrate it. It's not like what I say is going to stop it, but be careful of unbiblical man-made traditions, okay? But don't let it throw you off, okay? It's the Feast of Trumpets, and it means so much more. It doesn't mean the new year. It means so much more, okay? It actually means the return of our Lord God and Savior, amen? So here we go. 131, not to work on Feast of Trumpets, or you can call it Yom Teruah. If you see Yom Teruah, that's correct. It is there, okay? And trumpets is there, okay? Shofar, the shofar blast, okay? So I say this is the first fall feast in the seventh month of Tishri. I was right. So the Lord brought it to my remembrance. Sometimes I go blank. Please forgive me. But the Lord brought it to my remembrance. And actually, Tishri on some of your calendars is spelled without the E, okay? T-I-S-H-R-I, Tishri. So on some of your calendars, but it's the same month. So on Tishri 1, okay, is the beginning of the fall feast. And we're getting prepared for that now, okay? So the fall is coming. We're in summer right now, but the months go really fast, right? We got September and then October. I mean, the August, September, October, okay? So it's coming up awfully quick. So get prepared for the fall feast, okay? Leviticus 23:25, all right? It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, okay? Here we go. And the Lord spoke to Moses. Moses didn't make these things up and nobody else. The Lord spoke to Moses, okay? And he told him, write this down, speak to the people. Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with a blast of trumpets or shofars, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yes, it's going to be amazing on that day when you hear the shofar blast by the Lord himself. That means he's coming, okay? And then he's bringing us with him, amen? So he's going to gather us first, though, okay? Don't misquote me. I like saying things rightly because there's only one absolute truth, okay? And everybody, there is no absolute truth. Yes, there is, okay? This is absolute truth. Is there an absolute doctrine? Yes, it's called the Torah. That's the absolute truth, okay? And what he spoke through the prophets, okay? That is absolute truth, okay? Because the Lord said, okay? King of the universe, because it came from his mouth, okay? So 132, to hear the sound of the trumpet, in Hebrew, shofar, there you go. In Hebrew, shofar or ram's horn, okay? We could find this in Numbers 29, verse 1. On the first day of the seventh month, once again, reiterated in Numbers 29, verse 1, on the first day of the seventh month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. It is a day for you to blow the trumpets. Sound them off. Amen. Amen. Celebrate the Lord's return and say, Maranatha, Maranatha. 133. To fast on the Day of Atonement. Here we go. This is the second fall feast, okay? If you see it called Yom Kippur, that's why it is called Yom Kippur. I checked it out in the Hebrew, and yes, Yom Kippur is actually in the Hebrew, the Day of Atonement, okay? So to fast on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, second fall feast, It's in Leviticus 23:27. And this, like I said, is going to be the Day of Atonement is going to be his returning, the gathering. You could say some people like using the word rapture. I like reading gather because this is what he said he's going to do. He's going to gather from the four corners of the earth. He's going to send out his angels. He's going to gather. Okay. He's going to gather his beloved Israel. I love using the word gather, okay? Because rapture has been taken so much out of context, I don't even like looking at it no more. But actually, this you can't say gather, you can say rapture if you'd like to, but it's the gathering, okay? Gathering of the saints. First, those who are dead in Christ, those who died believing, repented, they died and they believing in Yeshua. He gathered those first, okay? And then he gathers those who are alive on earth at that present moment. And then he takes us and he protects us. He protects us. And some say it's the 10 days of awe because at the Feast of Trumpets, I'm not going to get too further into this, but it does make sense, okay? It's called the day of when the Lord judges on the earth. It's a frightful time for the earth. It's God's wrath on the nations. It's the 10 days of awe that they count from, okay? And I counted the days from. They celebrate this 10 days, okay? And so I mentioned it a couple videos back, okay? So it's 10 days of awe. And so they count from the trumpets, okay? The blast of the shofar, the first fall feast, okay? The day of the Feast of Trumpets, they start counting 10 days of awe because that's when he gathers us, he protects us for 10 days, his wrath is executed on the earth, on the nations, and he returns back for his beloved bride, okay, which is all of us, okay? And then we proceed and he changes us. He atones for the sins. He gives the Holy Spirit to his beloved Israel. He fills them with the Holy Spirit, takes off the blinders. We receive resurrected bodies and we return back with him in a holy procession with the angels and everything. It's going to be amazing. So that's what the Day of Atonement is, okay? But we have 10 days of awe in between. And this is when they say he's going to be taking care of business, judging the nations, his wrath on earth at the end of the great tribulation, okay? 10 days of awe. Very interesting, right? And you can look this up yourself. I'll bring you more with that next time, okay? But if you have any questions, let me know, right? So it says to fast on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, second fall feast on God's calendar, Leviticus 23:27. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Now on the tenth day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. Now, remember I said 10 days, and they do celebrate this. Look it up yourself. I wish I would have prepared something on the 10 days of awe, but if you have any questions, I will bring you that scripture next time. Maybe, or you could just ask me that question, look into it yourself, what the 10 days all are, okay? And so it says right here in verse 27, 10 days, remember, the first of Tishri was the Feast of Trumpets. So on that day, they count 10 days of awe, okay? So now look at what it says, the Day of Atonement. Now on the 10th of this seventh month, so that's 10 days of awe, is the Day of Atonement. It makes perfect sense. It ties in together. That is a cleansing. That's atoning for Israel's sins. Israel, his beloved bride, he's atoning for their sins. He's cleansing them. He's putting his Holy Spirit in them. He's giving them a new heart. You could find this in Jeremiah chapter 30, okay? They receive a new clean spirit. A new spirit, and he pours the Holy Spirit in them and a new heart, okay? He removes the heart of stone, of stiff-neckedness, and he gives them a heart of flesh, okay? It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. This is how it's going to go down, okay? I'm serious. I don't have no reservations at all if that's how it's going to go down because it's the word of God here. Now, on the 10th day of this month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. Okay, so on to 134. not to eat or drink on the Day of Atonement. Once again, he reiterates this over and over, not to eat or drink on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, Leviticus 23:29. Now, I always make a little quick note, as you notice, but I just want to add, you know, it's like, look, the implications of what he's done for us. He created the whole world and everything in it. Everything you eat is because of him. The water you drink is because of him. The showers you take is because of him. The rising of the sun in the morning, the beautiful lakes that you go to, the beautiful beaches that you go to, all the beautiful places that you travel to, right? It's all because of him. The air you breathe is because of him. Your life is because of him. Okay, so much. Okay, he offers, he's going to give us Eden back again, restore the earth. He's going to get rid of the devil, all the wickedness, all the sin, all the beloved promises. He's going to restore Israel. He's going to give us a new heavens, a new earth. Okay, and so all he asks for is to follow his feast days. This is all he asked us. To observe his commandments and follow them as best as you could, not because they save us, but because they're a guidebook for us. Basic instructions before leaving earth. You ever heard of that? Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions, God's instructions before leaving earth. That's his commandments, okay? And feast days, those are his moedim, his divinely appointed days. And what is he asking us to do? Not to eat or drink on the Day of Atonement. Everything that he's done for us. And this is all he asks us to do and celebrate and take a Shabbat day once a week. You know, come on, you know, in comparison. And then I'm not even mentioning the cross. He went, look what he did on the cross. Okay. I said this in my last video because it's true. When you get all of that, you're like, oh my God. This is what he's asking us to do on these feast days and to celebrate his feast days and to observe his commandments. They're nothing compared, not even nothing compared. Amen. He gave us salvation. Oh my goodness. Anyhow, let me continue or I'll never stop. Okay. 134. Once again, not to eat or drink on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, Leviticus 23:29. For whoever is not afflicted on that very day shall be cut off from his people. Okay? Amen. Because we will be afflicted. He never promised us perfect, right? We know we suffer in these bodies, right? And so we're going to be afflicted. He was afflicted. He showed himself what it means. Okay? He was afflicted himself. He was showing us. You too. He says, you're going to suffer for a while. This is the words of Jesus himself. Yeshua, he says, you're going to suffer for a while. Okay? He didn't promise everything's going to be perfect because he became a believer. It's just opposite. You're going to suffer because they hated me. They're going to hate you. Okay? So this is what it's saying here. For whoever's not afflicted on that very day shall be cut off from his people. Wow. So, yeah. All right. So amen and amen. 135. We're almost there. Okay. Bear with me. Not to work on the Day of Atonement. Once again, another day off. Okay. Not to work on the Day of Atonement. Yom Kippur. Leviticus 23:31. You shall not do any work. It is a statute. Once again, forever. Okay. Forever. I love that. Forever is forever. And this was written and spoke by God himself, a statute forever. From this moment when he applied them, all the way till now, all the way forever, okay? So you should be doing these things, okay? I shouldn't have to say that anymore. So I say it in love because it is awesome, okay? You shall not do any work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. Okay, last but not least, okay, 136, to rest on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Once again, the same one, Leviticus 23:32. He reiterates it. He's like, hello, are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? So praise God Almighty. It says, Leviticus 23:32, it shall be to you a Shabbat, a Sabbath of solemn rest. And you shall afflict yourselves, meaning fast, okay? Afflict yourselves on the ninth day of the month, beginning at evening, sunset, from evening to evening shall you keep your Shabbat. Amen, amen, and amen. So with that, we are going to go ahead and read the next section in the Psalm 119, okay, by King David himself. Once again, this is the English Standard Version, Psalm 119, 97 through 104, okay? So it says, and we're going to pray into this. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before your presence, I'm going to pray into this, my Lord, and I'm just going to say, oh, how I love your law, O Lord. It is my meditation all day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And we pray this in the name of Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach, Yeshua Messiah. In your name we pray. We say amen and amen. And I didn't mention mem, okay? This is the Hebrew alphabet letter mem. Mem, okay? So this is the Hebrew alphabet letter mem. As we go through section to section, it always has a letter there, a Hebrew letter. But I just want you to meditate a little bit on this. Read it for yourself. So for those who say the law is done away with, and you know, it was a burden, it was a heavy yoke, you know, it was too much, and that's not true. That is not true. We've been going through them one by one, or 10 each video. And so far, we have seen nothing but good instructions from the Lord. And King David wouldn't say, what does he say right here? How I love your law. It is his meditation all day. And then he goes on to say, your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, okay? And it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. And I'm not saying that I have understanding more than all my teachers. I am least, okay? As you notice, I am least, okay? I don't think myself more than the teachers the Lord has put in my path. No way. I put myself at the very bottom, okay? I sometimes kid around. I say, I'm just a dumb oof. And that's for reals. My IQ is not high, okay? I am not, okay, so a greater or have more understanding than my teachers, but I know his ways and his laws, and they are perfect, and I do rely upon them so much. So anyhow, I humbly say that from all my heart right here. It says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold my feet back from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, okay? For you have taught me. How sweet, here we go. How sweet are your words to my taste. So he's saying his commandments are sweet, not heavy, not a burden. He says they're sweeter than honey to my mouth, okay? So it says through your precepts, I get understanding. So they are good in every single way. They are good. It says, therefore, I hate every false way. Every false way. Be careful of the false ways, okay? Like I said, absolute truth in his commandments, in his ways, in his moedim, spoken from his mouth. Absolute truth, okay? You can count on it 100%, okay? So with that, I believe that's it for today. So I hope you were blessed by this. Please share these videos. You know, I say this, I'm doing this in love. And share them. And remember, amen and amen, okay? I'll see you next time in the next episode of Finally Following God's Laws, all 613 of them. Goodbye for now, but never forever.